Starting to read at Matthew chapter 27, verse 57. I'm reading through to chapter 28, verse 10. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The word of God.
Thank you, Simon. We'll think about that more in a minute. Just before we start, just to remember, at the end of this month, in this month, April, there are 5 Sundays, which there are a couple of times in the year. And on the 5th Sunday, we have a slightly different kind of service. And this time, we have a special guest coming. That's April the 29th, is the final Sunday. And we have a chap coming all the way from New Zealand, not specially to be with us. He's on tour in this area, who's a singer called Jules Riding. He'll be here on the Sunday to lead our service. And we'll be having breakfast at 10. And then on the Saturday night, as Frank's holding up the poster back there, Saturday the 28th, that's the day before, there will be a concert here with Jules, and he's coming to sing for us and lead us into the presence of God in some worship songs and some praise songs. But that's going to be an outreach event, so please, if you've got friends, I'm sure you've all got friends, haven't you? Very sad if you've not, I'll come and pray with you. But if you've got any friends to bring along, come along on that Saturday night. There is not a charge for that, but if you can give a donation, that'll be really great, because we can give Jules something then to help him with the expenses of coming all the way from New Zealand. But he is touring in the area, and it'll be really good. I know it's going to be a really good event, so please do try and come to that. Also, if you've got some queries about what Christian faith is all about, next week I'll be sharing some dates. So hopefully you're probably on a Monday or a Tuesday evening, when we'll be having some introduction to Christian faith, little events with a little bit of a meal and some thoughts together. So that's going to be called Just Curious. So if you want to learn more about the Christian faith, and you'd like to come along and have a snack meal and to learn a bit more and talk about a bit more. That'll be happening in April, I hope and pray. Let's have a prayer together as we open God's word together. Father, we thank you for the fact that you are alive, and we pray now that we might consider carefully the challenge of Jesus' resurrection. Amen. Hopefully, David, we've got some PowerPoint slides.
It had been a particularly difficult week for some of the disciples and the followers of Jesus. It all began with such hope at the beginning of that week. Jesus riding on a donkey into Jerusalem. People taking branches from the trees and throwing them down in front of him and swinging and shouting. Singing praises. You know what words they cried? They cried, "Hosanna to the King of Kings. Hosanna to the King. Hosanna to the Son of David." What does the word Hosanna mean? Anybody know what Hosanna means? It's usually used as praise. You know, it actually means Lord save us, yes, but you were quite right, it's used as a word of praise and thanksgiving to God to bring salvation into our lives. Hosanna, they shouted. They threw down their coats. They took off their coats and their cloaks and they threw them in the path of the donkey. I guess it wasn't what they expected. If you thought of a king riding into a city in triumph at the end of a battle, what would you expect him to be riding on? A white horse, a charger. And when we have the Easter journey up at Frodsham, where I used to live, the kids would come up with things in the Little Easter. They would say, he'd be coming in a stretch limousine or horse and carriage. They expected something spectacular, but here is a king riding a donkey, really as the lowest of the low. So there's a strange contrast already. Already something strange is going on. This is a king. This is a king they're worshipping, they're praising, they're singing. They have great expectations, but some of them might have had questions. They might have been wondering, what is going on? Why is our king on a donkey? Why is he coming in this way? Who are these rough-looking guys that are walking with him? Where's his entourage? Where's his soldiers if he's going to defeat the Romans? What's going on? What's happening? But hope was surging in the hearts of his disciples. They were hoping at last the Romans were going to get their comeuppance. At last the kingdom would be Israel's again and they would be the victors. There was hope surging in their hearts, even though there were questions as, how is Jesus going to do this thing? What is going to happen? And then the disciples move on. Sorry, backwards. Back one. The other side of there. They enjoyed a Passover meal together at the table with the Lord Jesus. They celebrated the release from captivity of Israel as they did every year. And it was good to get together with Jesus and to celebrate the Passover. But somehow on that meal, even during that meal, there was a sense of unease, I think, amongst the disciples. They were beginning to wonder what was going on because things didn't seem quite right. They'd already seen this strange experience of Jesus not coming in triumphant with an army, but riding on a donkey. Even though the people accepted him and worshipped him, there was something not right. And then partway through this meal, Jesus had a very strange conversation with Judas Iscariot that you can read about in the Gospels. A very strange conversation. And at the end of that conversation, Judas got up and left. And Jesus said something to him like, what you are going to do, do quickly. The disciples must have asked themselves, what is he going to be doing? What is going on? What is happening? There was a sense, I think, of disquiet amongst them as these things began to happen. Now we can have the next slide. Thank you. And then as they went outside onto the Mount of Olives, Jesus began to speak to Peter. And as he spoke to Peter, he said, Peter, in the next few days, you will deny me 3 times. Peter, you will deny me. You'll say you don't know me. And Peter says, Lord, I'll never do that. That'll never happen. I'm totally committed to you. I will never deny you. I'd rather die than deny you. I want to come and I want to die with you. But Jesus said, no, Peter, in the next few days, you will deny me 3 times. And then they come to the Garden of Gethsemane. Sorry, back again, Wyman. We're not quite there yet. You're very eager, David, to move on. That's good. You're wonderful. You see them in the Garden of Gethsemane. And what happened in that? Jesus goes away to pray and to speak to his Father, and we read of his prayers. And as he goes away to pray and to take time out talking to God, what do the disciples do? Do they talk amongst themselves? What do? They fell asleep. You ever had that issue when you've been trying to pray? Come on, you can admit it. You're trying to talk to God and you're trying to pray, and all of a sudden you think, a lot of time's gone by and I don't seem to have done much praying, and you've fallen asleep. And Jesus comes back to them and he says, what's going on? Couldn't you wait with me 1 hour? Couldn't you stay awake for an hour while I pray? And they must have felt ashamed. And Jesus goes away and begins to pray again. And he comes back, and what's happened? They're asleep again. And he goes away and he begins to pray, and he comes back a third time, and what's happened? They're asleep again. It's like me every evening in front of the TV, missing the end of the program. But so often, they weren't watching. What's going on? They must have wondered, and they must have felt slightly ashamed. And then in the garden, there is Jesus at the bottom there, praying. He's gone off and praying. He earnestly cries out to God. And we read about his prayer. And his prayer is, Lord God, Father God, if there's only another way and I don't have to face what I'm about to face, if only there's another way that I can achieve your purposes, I don't want to go through what I know I'm going to have to go through. But he says very clearly, he says, your will be done. I'm prepared to do what you need me to do for these people. But if only there was another way, if only there's another way. And he comes back and the disciples are still sleeping. And he must feel slightly disappointed in them, and they must feel disappointed in themselves. But then, yes, you can move on, David. Then something else happens. Then suddenly the quiet garden where they've been peacefully sleeping and peacefully resting and Jesus has been praying is filled with the sound of tramping feet, the rattle of armour and the rattle of swords. Temple guards, armed men arriving from the temple authorities. The guard sees Jesus. One of the disciples grabs his sword and swings his sword. I don't think he was particularly aiming for any particular area, but he slices off the ear of one of the servants of the high priest. And Jesus puts his hands up to stop them and says, no, hold back, I don't want you to fight. And they must be thinking to themselves, why not? Surely this is the moment. Surely it's all beginning. The kingdom is coming. It's all beginning to happen. We must fight. We must draw our swords and our daggers. But Jesus says, no, hold back. And he goes to the high priest's servant, and instead of condemning him, he says, be healed. And his ear is restored to itself, and he can hear again clearly. They must have been deciding what on earth is going on. And what do the disciples do then? They've been sleeping while he was praying. And now they've seen Jesus seized and grabbed by the temple authorities. What do? They turn and run. They turn and flee. Peter, as he runs, must be thinking, oh no, the Lord said I would deny him, and now I'm running away. And they flee and they wonder. And all their hopes must be completely dashed. They must be thinking, what a disaster. How do you think the disciples are feeling at this moment? As they run from the Garden of Gethsemane, as they hear the clatter of the soldiers and the shouts of the people, which has somehow changed completely from the day when Jesus rode into Jerusalem and they were so filled with hope. I think they must have felt shattered. I think they must have felt disillusioned, shocked, guilty even, disappointed. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that way about your own Christian life? Have you ever felt disappointed with the way your life is going? Have you ever felt that you've let God down? Just enter in for a moment and think of how these disciples are feeling. All their hopes were in Jesus. They had no other hope. They'd given up their fishing. They'd given up their day jobs. And they were following Jesus. And now suddenly it's all gone. But we thought that he was going to defeat the Romans. We thought we were going to be free. And we thought we would have power again. And it's all gone away. And then as they move on, they see Jesus dragged before a kangaroo court, an illegal court, because it was at a time of day when such a court was illegal. They see witnesses and Peter is hiding in a corner. Peter manages to sneak into the courtroom and listen to what's going on. He hears witnesses tell lies, deliberately lying, and deliberately putting a wrong emphasis on the words. You know how sometimes you can say something and someone can take your words and twist them and make them sound completely different? Have you ever had that happen to you? And you feel awful? They took some of Jesus' words and they twisted them and they used them against him. And gradually, they saw Jesus seeming to lose out in the court. And Peter must be thinking as he's hiding in the corner, why is Jesus silent? And all these accusations are being made against him. If somebody accused you of a crime, what would you do? Would you shout and yell and say, no, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. I wasn't there. I didn't do it. Wouldn't you say that? Wouldn't you want to defend yourself? But Jesus, why are you not defending yourself? Why are you so quiet? Why are you saying nothing? And then suddenly in that corner, the next one, a young girl spots Peter and says to Peter, you're one of his, you were with him. And Peter says, no, I don't know the man, I've never met him. And she says, yes, you were. You were with him, I recognize your accent, you're a Galilean, you're one of his. No, says Peter, I don't know him, I've no knowledge at all of this man. I don't know what you're talking about. And she says, you do, definitely, you know. And Peter says, no, I didn't know him. And then he hears a cock crow in the distance. How is he feeling now? Utterly distraught. I promised him I would follow him to the death. I said I would die with him. Now look at me. I'm denying that I even know him. Even Judas, who gave up and betrayed Jesus, even he is feeling shattered. Even he is sitting down thinking, what have I done? What have I done? Why have I done what I've done? Why have I taken money from the high priest to betray Jesus? I betrayed him with a kiss. So distraught is Judas, so remorseful that he goes out. What does he do? It says he hangs himself. And even the Pharisees are feeling bad about things, because when Judas throws the money back at them and they slings it back at them, he doesn't just hand it back all nicely and politely, he throws it back at them. They say, we can't use this money because it's blood money. They realize that even they've done something wrong, even they've taken a man who's actually committed no crime, and they're going to crucify him. So even they're feeling bad at this time. Judas is shattered, Peter is shattered, the disciples have run away and are scattered around the city, wondering what's going to happen. Are they going to be the next to be arrested? And more events follow, thank you. More events follow. Jesus is dragged in front of Pilate, and at first it seems as though Pilate wants to move to save Jesus. It seems almost as though Pilate is for a little bit on Jesus' side. But the crowd shout and the crowd yell, and the crowd persuade him, and they say, if you let this man go, you're not Caesar's friend. And somewhere in Pilate's mind he thinks, my career is at stake. Actually, it was. And he lost his career very shortly after this. So history tells us that. But nevertheless, Pilate is afraid. He's afraid that men can do to him. And so he gives up Jesus and he allows Jesus to be crucified. I think Pilate went against his better judgment because of fear of the people. He's scared of his own bosses. He relents and allows Jesus to be sentenced to death. And finally, just imagine this appalling picture. The disciples see their Jesus, the one they placed all their hopes in, hanging on a cross. What sort of death is this? Is this the death of a man who's healed people of leprosy? Is this the death of a man who's made blind people see? Is this the right death for a man who raised a little girl to life when she was dying, when she was dead? Is this the right response to a man who met a widow with her son dead in the coffin and raised him to life? Is this the right response for a man who brought forgiveness and love to so many people? And yet here we see him dying a death reserved for who? Reserved for criminals. With the worst of the criminals on either side. And even in his death, we see this Jesus reaching out, not to hang on the cross and shout out, I'm innocent. None of those cries. His cries and his concerns are rather for those either side of him. For the thief who responds to him and says, I believe in you. For that thief, he says, today you will be with me in paradise. His concern is for the disciples and the mother of his disciples. Even now, on the cross, the place where he's dying a criminal's death, Jesus' concern is for others. I wonder if you and I can enter into the feelings of those disciples at this time. It's Friday. It's coming up to the weekend. And everything has gone. All their hopes are dashed. And then they hear Jesus cry out and die on the cross. And they see that centurion come and thrust a sword into his side, and blood and water comes out, and they know he is really dead. And it's all over. Their hopes are dashed. Everything they'd wanted is gone. Let's sing a song when we think about that for a little bit. The next song we're going to sing, At Your Name. We haven't finished, so don't be despairing. We're going on after this song. The story is not over yet. Out of the shadows steps a secret follower of Jesus, a man called Joseph of Arimathea, who up until then had been a follower of Jesus, but in secret because of fear of the Jews, like other men, like Nicodemus, who also was a secret follower, and others who were secret. Can you flip through then a bit? That's it, stop there for a minute. Go on the next one. Go on the next one then, because that's where we're at, isn't it? I'm glad David's in charge here. Even the authorities, though, are not satisfied. Did you hear the story? Did you hear the story that Simon read? When as that Joseph comes forward to offer his tomb, the authorities say to one another on the quiet, something could still go wrong. Do you remember what this man said? He said that after 3 days he would rise again. You know what's going to happen? His disciples are going to creep along there. They're going to go to that tomb and they're going to take his body and they're going to hide it and they're going to proclaim that he's risen when he isn't. We're afraid of that. Do you know they'd already paid the soldiers at the tomb to say that they fell asleep? I mean, that's a disciplinary offence. I mean, as a soldier, you don't fall asleep when you're on guard duty. Can you imagine this outside Buckingham Palace? He's lying flat with his big bear skin on the side, fast asleep on the front. I think he'd lose his job, don't you? But these guys were paid to say we fell asleep and we missed everything that was going on. Somebody's trying to cover up something that's happened. The authorities say, seal that tomb up completely. Make sure that no one can move that stone and that rock away. And a guard is placed on the tomb. But you know, those two Marys have enough courage to move on one. Those two Marys have enough courage to come to the tomb. And they discover he's not there. He's not there. Do you know, I loved the reading that Simon said, because it said that angel, where was the angel when they came to the tomb? Where was that angel? Sat on the rock. And he'd be sitting up there really saying to the authorities, see, you can't defeat this guy. And he was sitting on the rock as a message to those saying, look, oh, we can move it. You can't do anything to defeat this guy. He is alive. The tomb is empty. An angel is not there. And he says those fantastic words to the two Marys as they come to the tomb. And by the way, if you read the story in different Gospels, there's slightly different aspects of the story. That's exactly how it happened, because different people would have remembered it different ways and different people would have remembered it from different points of view. But the women believe. Do you know, by the way, as an aside, do you notice that? When the women are told that Jesus is alive, they believe immediately. When they go back and tell the disciples, what do the disciples say? Oh yeah, we want to see this for ourselves. I'm sorry to say this, but you know, so often women have stronger faith than the men do. Is that true? In fact, I remember a Jewish man tell us once that even in their culture, he was telling us about their Sabbath and how the men wear their prayer shawls and other things to remind them to pray. He said this, and this is not me saying this, this was a Jewish guy just a couple of years ago, he said, we men need those things to remind us. The women amongst us are more spiritual and they don't need the same things to remind them. So there's an interesting challenge. After all the thing we think about men and women in the Bible, and we think that women are put down. But these women are the first ones that Jesus announces the fact, or God announces through the angel, the fact that he is alive. He is alive. Think about it from different points of view now. These ladies have found that Jesus is alive. The story's not over. He's risen from the dead. They run to tell the disciples as they've been instructed by the angel. Peter hears the message. Peter must have thought to himself, is he alive? Supposing he is alive. Supposing he's risen from the dead. Supposing it's really happened. How will I be, thinks Peter to himself. I've denied him. Jesus won't want me anymore. Jesus won't want to know me anymore because I denied him, just like he said. He didn't expect anything good of me. He expected me to deny him, and I did. I let him down. Do you remember the day on the beach when Jesus comes to Peter and he said, Simon Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, you know that I love you. How many times did he say it? One, two, three. One for each time that he denied him. Lord Jesus, you are amazing. Peter was given a task because he was forgiven for his denials. He was given for letting Jesus down. He was set in place to lead the church in the early days. Peter was given the forgiveness of God. Thomas. When Thomas heard the news that Jesus was alive, he said, I want to see this with my own eyes. I want to put my hand in his side. I want to put my fingers in his hands and see the nail prints. I want to see it before I believe it. And when Jesus comes into that room, where does he go to? He goes to Thomas. He says, Thomas, have a look. See my hands and see my side. Do you think Thomas reached out to put his fingers in the hands of Jesus? I don't think he even did. I think he was so convinced, he said, Lord, I shouldn't have doubted. I believe, I know. And he said those fantastic words. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. He responded to Jesus, he responded to the risen Jesus. And then there was Mary in the garden. The other story of when Mary came. And she was distraught because the body of Jesus has gone. And she says to a man she thinks is the gardener, where have you taken my Lord? I want to look after his body. Where have you taken him? And what does Jesus say to her? He says one word, Mary. And suddenly all the doubts go out of the window. Everything rushes away. She says, my Lord, you're alive. You're alive again. Have you ever heard Jesus speak to you by name? I think I have sometimes. It's as if Jesus says, Tim, I love you. Yes, you've let me down. Yes, things have gone wrong. Yes, you're mistaken. But I have risen because I love you. I died for you because I love you. I've risen again because I love you. Hope is restored. All those dashed hopes are brought back in a new beginning, a new release. Is there another one to go? The crown of thorns has become a crown of life. Death has been turned into life. But where is Jesus? Let's think for a minute about the resurrection. Could the disciples have stolen the body? Could it be a massive hoax? Do you know, for years and years and years, they were persecuted as Christians. And I think the next slide gives an idea of that, if it's the one I think it is. Yes, it is. This is something that Charles Colson said. I know the resurrection is a fact, and Watergate proved it to me. How? Because 12 men testified they had seen Jesus raised from the dead. Then they proclaimed that truth for 40 years, never once denying it. Everyone was beaten, tortured, stoned, and put in prison. They would not have endured that if it weren't true. You see what a difference the resurrection of Jesus made to these guys? They changed completely because they knew that Jesus was alive. And he said, Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep alive for 3 weeks. You're telling me 12 apostles could keep alive for 40 years? Absolutely impossible. Jesus has risen from the dead. They didn't take the body. It was real. Oh, but some people say, you know, well, Jesus didn't really die. When they took him into the tomb, he wasn't actually dead. He came back to life after, you know, the cool air of the tomb revived him, which actually wouldn't have happened. It would have done the reverse. And he managed to struggle out. That was amazing. An ordinary man managed to struggle out of a tomb, managed to shift the grave clothes and leave them in such a way that it looked as though he hadn't actually come out of them, left them so neat with the headpiece lying separately, climbed out, rolled away the tomb and walked to Jerusalem. You really think that's credible? Do you know, again and again, lawyers and people who wanted to prove that Jesus didn't rise from the dead have tried to prove it, and again and again they've proved and shown that Jesus did rise from the dead. There is evidence. There are eyewitnesses. And today, even the very existence of the church, can you move on one, David? The very existence of the church tells the story. He is alive. He's a living saviour. I hope you've been excited by the reminder of the story today. Put yourself in the shoes of the disciples, so despairing, so utterly despairing, and now suddenly hope's restored, suddenly strength is restored. What's your response today to the resurrected life of Jesus? What's your response? Are you a Christian? Do you know the Lord Jesus in your life? Do you know the risen Lord Jesus come into your life? Will you accept him as Saviour and Lord? Will you receive him for your forgiveness of sins? If you've never been baptised, as Theoni was 2 weeks ago, you've never professed your faith in that way, perhaps now's the time to think about that. Perhaps, on the other hand, it's time to think of Jesus on the cross, forgiving those who'd hurt him. Forgiving those who'd pained him, even from there, even the very ones that had put him on that cross, he offered forgiveness and he offered love to them. Is it a time for us to turn and forgive someone in our life who's hurt us? Is it a time to receive his forgiveness and his love? Let's sing another song, and then I'd like to open it up for just a couple of minutes for you to respond. And part of that is going to be Sheila's going to tell us what happened yesterday at the bread event. And I think there's some bread somewhere, isn't there, we can share later that you made yesterday. So Sheila's going to tell us a bit about that first of all, as the response that they had to the whole of this story. And then I'd like one or two of you, if you feel so moved, to share what's your response, and then we can take this further this evening. What's your response to the risen life of Jesus? Let's sing, Come People of the Risen King. Sheila, come and share us what happened yesterday. And bring the bread.
Yesterday at 286 up Burgess Road, they had an event to share Easter with the community. And they chose to do it through baking and art and a reflection on Christ being the bread of life. So we made bread. We made it with beautiful seeded organic flour. And this loaf that I have here was given to the church, and it was made by a little boy called Josh, because I was there with the oven and I didn't have time to make it. So this young lad called Josh was really excited about actually making a loaf of bread for the church. So this is Josh's loaf.
Morning, before we sing our last song, what does the resurrection of Jesus mean to you? What's your reaction? Eternal life. What, just in heaven? Everywhere. That's good. Eternal life. When does eternal life begin? Yeah? Does begin when we die, in a sense, but doesn't it begin when we know God? Absolutely. When we're brought back to life that way, eternal life begins now. That's an exciting thought, eternal life. We're promised life now. What did Jesus say in John 10? I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Anybody else? How do you want to respond to the resurrection of Jesus?
Hope and freedom.
That's good. You've got hope. Even though you've got some difficult times in your life, haven't you, Trev? And that gives you hope to think that Jesus is alive. Is he alive in the place you work? Because you take him there with you, don't you?
I try.
You try. That's good. That's a good reaction to these. He's going to take into the... For those of you who don't know, Trevor works with homeless people, homeless guys, and you can take something of the life of Jesus and share it with them, even just by the way you live, if not by the words you speak. Anybody else? Forgiveness of sins. You got some sins then, Bob? We'll ask Jean about them afterwards. So seriously, it is good to know. Frank. Right. Right. Fantastic. That's brilliant. You're going to share the resurrection life with your dad and trust as he draws towards the end of his life, he'll come to it with hope. And that's a fantastic thought. You know, for some of those people, as we come towards the end of life, some of us are perhaps nearer the end of life than others, I don't know. None of us know. None of us know when it's going to be, but there is hope. There is hope for now and hope for the future. So come tonight. Come tonight at 7 and we'll pray again into some of those hopes and thoughts of the future and think how, if we've got fears about the future, the fact that Jesus is alive and when we get to the future, he's been there, he is there, he knows what's ahead of us and he'll go with us. That's the fantastic thought of the risen Jesus. We're going to sing a final song now before we share a cup of tea and some cake and some bread, which will make us think of the risen life of Jesus. And what was the coffee cake thing? Salt, tears, and staying awake when we should be staying awake when we shouldn't be asleep. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay, we've got that. God sent his son, they call him Jesus. And this song I've chosen for the last one because it really refers to the future. And it says in the chorus, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. So it is our response. Because he is alive, because he did rise from the dead, he really did, Jesus is alive and I can face the future with him. If you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ, if you've never asked him to be your Lord and Saviour, today might be the day, Easter Sunday, when you invite him in your life. Today might be the day when you make a decision, as Frank has done, to go to someone in particular and share the message of good news. Today might be a day when you decide you're going to be baptized as a public confession of your faith in Christ. Whatever it is, what's your response to the resurrection of Jesus? Let's sing this song.